Welcome back to another the Down and Back Cornhole Podcast. Great show for you. I have James Forbes, Corey Ewart from For a Joke Cornhole here in St. Thomas. A couple of great guys. We get to talk about some cornhole and some other stuff. And big week. Last weekend there, we had the second of the ACL Canada Central Conference tournament. See a lot of stuff on Facebook. People are saying, hey, it's the Canada Conference tournament. Nope, it's the Central Conference tournament of ACL Canada. ran into a little bit of Wi-Fi issues there. I know some people were looking, hoping to have some live feeds, but unfortunately, the Wi-Fi and even me trying to hotspot off my phone, I tried everything to get it going. I couldn't. Look for next week sometime. We will be going and I'm going to put out on the page here the kind of the raw, unedited video that I have. and you'll even see there, like the I couldn't even get the score zone to come up because without the Wi-Fi. I know some people say, oh, that's because the way the ACL software is. Nope, it doesn't work without Wi-Fi. So if you can't connect to Wi-Fi, you can't see the score zone. So you'll be able to see that. Bunch of hours. I got like 6 hours of each one from a couple different parts of the day, from Saturday morning, then Saturday evening, then Sunday with the singles for most of the day. So you have a lot of cornhole action to see. There won't be any commentary on it because we just kind of let the video go to have some video. So you'll be able to watch that. If you know that you played on the live feed, you'll be able to see, well, the delayed live feed, the non-live feed, recorded live feed, whatever it is. You get to see that. So some results from that weekend were the doubles on Saturday morning. I didn't get to see much of the Friday night, so we'll go with the Saturday. Saturday morning started off with the women's and senior singles. That was Saturday morning. Brain is just gone. Senior singles won by the always camera shy, but took pictures for this one. Mr. Steve Hensby out of Garden City Cornhole. Steve played great all morning and he got the win. The women's, Tracy DeCoste really kind of, like I said, but like I've been saying the last few weeks about her, really kind of came into her own in that there. She went, sat in the queen seat, and then a lot of great cornhole being played kind of got to her. Not, I don't want to say got to her because it didn't really get to her, but we had a lot of games. So over the course of the weekend, what I noticed was we normally up here when we're in any games, we're quick, 10-round games, whatever. They're not taking long, but for some reason, this weekend, we had a lot of 25, 30-round games, and that was taking a long time. So I think she may have sat in the queen seat waiting for an opponent in the final for about two and a half hours. Then she eventually had to play Lana Smith. Lana Smith got the better for the double dip, because I think, and talking to Tracy, it was kind of exhausting. Sitting there kind of waiting, you kind of, you know, when do you start warming up, when do you start doing this here? And then even the match with Lana really was, you know, they were close as well too. I think their match ended up like being like 45 minutes long as well. So we're starting to get some better cornhole up here and some longer games, and it was just great to watch some of the stuff. So that was a Saturday morning, which then pushed, with all those longer games, that pushed back the double start in the afternoon. I don't think we started till about 2 or 3 o'clock when we're supposed to start at noon. So then the doubles, the tier one doubles, Brandon Brown, Bernie Portalesi take down tier one. Tier two was won by Chris Tremblay, Jamie Cowan. Tier three, Nathan Brooks and Dan Guitar took that there final. And I know watching both Nathan and Dan, you know, winning tier three is fine with them, but you're gonna be seeing a lot more of them getting into the tier two and then the tier one, because I first noticed Dan last year at the I believe the second conference we had at the Northumberland Curling Club, and he was playing well in singles there, and I expect to see a lot more from him in the future. So then that led into Sunday with singles action. Again, a lot of great games, and in the open singles, Bernie Portalesi, he sat in that king seat for a good couple hours for that, and he ended up taking down Tim Sanchi in an epic battle with them. Tim had a bunch of battles going in. I believe Tim had to play, I want to say, Glenn McNutt, then Steve Pohl to get to Bernie. So he took down a couple of big names as well to get into that. So that was the open singles. The advanced singles was Lee Carson. Competitive singles was Gage Cullen, a youngster, just kind of coming back, coming out of the junior ranks, and he took down Phil Tavares out there. And I think that game there went to a second game. Phil had the double dip. Gage, I believe, Phil won the first game. Then Gage kind of took the second game, and then intermediate final, her first big win in singles, Lori Turner from KW. So they've kind of only been up with the club maybe what, a year now, and a big poker player. She put the poker face on and took down the intermediate singles against, and you'll hear about him later on, Brian Farquhar from the Four Joke Guys. And that was a pretty good match there. I know she came up through the through the loser bracket. So I think she did double dip Brian as well. So great weekend and all. Couple things went on, but it's just, you know what? It's, I think they will all work themselves out. Just hopefully we have Wi-Fi for the next one or for the next thing, because the next big event will be June in St. John's, the ACL Open number 2, ACL Canada Open number 2. We will talk more about that next week. But really, anything else to talk about? Nah, just some sponsorship stuff. You're going to throw bags, you're going to throw local bags. Local bag company, you're going to see it come across the screen there at the bottom. Get on their website, get some local bags. I know we just had Glenn McNutt get some new bags there this week. He wins the 450 subscriber contest and gets a set of local Terminator, the 420 edition, which there'll be more coming up with some more bags like that. So you go to localbagcompany.com, get yourself some bags. Then you want something to throw on, go over to jccornhole.com, talk to Jamie. He will get you some great customized boards that he has, or do whatever you want. Jamie's great with that. Then you want to find a place to store those boards. You're going to talk to Darren at sierrahome.com. All your home inspection needs. He'll let you know best places to store boards, best places to store bags in your house, whatever you want to do, or even just anything you need to know about your home. But the home inspection, talk to Darren over there, either on his website or his Facebook page, Sierra Property Inspections. And remember, if you are in the Edmonton area, in Edmonton, Alberta, Sherwood Park to be exact, remember, get Darren to come and do that there for you, because a portion of what you pay Darren will be going to a children's cancer hospice in the Edmonton area. So that's great. And then when you're done relaxing, get yourself some Harris Beach Spirits Rye 51. Head over to their website, harrisbeachspirits.com. And you got to, right now you're still ordering online, and what you're ordering off of is Opinium. I think I said that right. You'll be able to check that on their website. You'll be able to order that online. For Ontario, you'll be able to pick it up at the LCBO stores. But now here is my talk with Corey James from Four Joke Cornhole. We talk cornhole, we talk some curling, and maybe even some wrestling. As promised, we are back with the For a Joke guys. Corey Ewart, James Forbes, although their names are mixed up. James is on the left, Corey's on the right. But guys, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
this has been a long time coming, I think, for this year, because we kept talking about it, and then it's now finally happened.
Probably been about 6 months, Doug, since you asked us to be on here, but it's been hard to peg down time for both of us, so glad to be here.
Well, yeah. You guys, you know, since you guys started your league, you guys have been kind of going all the time. Like, it's, you know, you guys have been kind of busy with that.
Yeah, it's a busy schedule between league and tournaments and regionals, and we're trying to get around to support everybody, a little bit of everybody's regional. We had West once in a while. We had the East once in a while. It kind of takes a lot of time and a lot of weekends off the calendar, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, and you guys will show up at a league night in KW just to grab some points from me, so making sure I stay down near the bottom.
Yeah, we got to do that. We try to get into the States a little bit, too, so we've been going over and playing in Michigan at Great Shots, and then just more recently we're going to start playing a little bit in Port Huron at Bangers Cornhole. So.
Yes, and then for anyone, you see me wearing my Four Joe Cornhole shirt.
Look, I got one. I'm matching here, Doug.
That I picked up. And they can message you guys on Facebook if anyone wants to get the kind of like almost the style of what Corey's wearing. And then this style here, you can and they're cheap cornhole stuff. You don't have to be like $40. It's they're like, what, 25? And you can pick up a shirt and help out the league.
Yeah, we can do we got hats too. So we got the hats, and then we have the Four Joke NWO style cornhole, and then just the blue shirt with the A. Yep, $25. Just message one of us, and we can hook you guys up.
So we'll get into the NWO stuff in a little bit, but so the league nights. What nights do you run?
So we just kind of we've got a great spot, the Back Alley Bar and Grill. They're great support of Four Joe Cornhole. So we have a league that was well established before myself and James both started playing cornhole. So that runs Tuesday nights. But on top of that, Four Joe Cornhole's taken on doing local nights down here because we have a lot of people down this way that wanted those highly coveted ACL points, those local points that everybody's kind of might make the difference come the standings towards the end of the year. So we try and run a local night about twice a month. Where we do that on top of what a league night is down here, just so that it's more cornhole down here. The bar's happy to have us. They're loving cornhole and the support that they're getting from the cornhole community. So, yeah, local nights typically about twice a month.
And then your other tournaments that you guys have, I love the way you guys set up your tournaments because you have your regular regional tournaments, right? But then you also have ones just for the newer players as well, which I think is a fantastic idea.
Yeah. One of the big things that we wanted to do was really create that spectrum because we had to start somewhere too. When we started, we were the two guys that came out to a league night in St. Thomas and we couldn't hit the board, but then there's somebody like Dean Lang on the board beside us and he's number one in Canada. And so when we started all this, we really wanted to create that spectrum for people to start out and work their way through kind of some of those levels. So the social nights, really have allowed for us to grow the game down here. We've seen people go from our local nights all the way up to now playing this past weekend at the conference at the advanced and open levels. So it's allowed them to progress that way through, which is great for the game. And when we started doing this, a lot of people said, well, what's cornhole? How do I play? Where do I get involved? And so the socials were kind of that easy way to integrate in where you're playing against like-skilled people. So it's a lot of fun. Kind of takes that competitive edge away from some of those people so that they can kind of experience it the same way that we did and hopes that more people will latch on to it.
I think for us, one of the most important things is to keep games competitive at all levels. So whether that be, you know, just starting out or all the way to the guys playing open and in the pros, right? We want to keep everyone playing competitive games. That's what's going to keep the interest and I think continue to grow the game.
And it's actually been really nice. We started our first social that we did. I think we had 12, 14 teams. We're now selling out almost every social event that we run at 32 teams. And as soon as people show up for the one that they're at, when's the next one? Can I hold my spot? What do I need to do in order to get that next spot? And even then, some of the teams that are starting to finish near the top of those socials, we start having some of those conversations. Hey, we run some ACL regionals. Come out and try, plan our intermediate division, start to grow your game in that way, or come out to some of our local nights, kind of get that exposure to playing with some of the higher end players that'll help you through your game. And we've really been able to grow the game through that.
Well, I think, and it's a test to that, that you guys have been able to grow the game in St. Thomas where you have, because you go to any conference tournament, any kind of other bigger tournament now, and you guys have like almost like a full squad showing up. There's always a, you know, at least 10 or 15 people from St. Thomas there.
Yeah, we have a good following, and we have a good spectrum of players too, playing through all the divisions. So you would have seen guys like Asher Wallman and Brian Farquhar playing intermediate and comp level stuff, and then you have, you know, ourselves playing open, and you got guys like Joel Pinkham, Jason Lowe, the third member of our crew, Nick Cassidy. Like we're through the whole spectrum, and I think that really comes from starting with those socials. And then having the opportunity to move people all the way through. Like a guy like Asher, for example, had started just playing the social, hadn't played Cornhole, and he's grown pretty well. I mean, him and his doubles partner, Brian Farquhar, ended up playing in Tier 1 doubles this weekend. So they really put the work in, and they've grown, but they started off just playing a social, and then this is where they've grown to. So it's worked out really well with the system we've developed with from the social all the way through to being ACL directors and being able to run the regionals and stuff like that.
Well, I know with Asher, he was able to carry me to a second place in a KW League night one night. So he can't be all that bad. And then, that's a tough carry. But then even Brian this weekend picked up second in the conference in the intermediate division.
Yeah, Brian's a really good player. He also plays disc golf too. So he's got that putting form, which kind of correlates over to throwing the bag. That's really helped him. I really like Brian. I think Brian has a really bright future in the game of Cornwall. I think he's going to be a really solid player.
And like I said, like we've had Asher come down. I know we've got had a couple of your other players. You guys, when you guys come down, you don't just bring yourselves. You bring almost the team with you.
We got a running joke. We got the four joke B team rolling with us. Asher and Brian and TJ, Kyle. But yeah, it's we got a good group, and they're willing to learn, and we got a group that's willing to travel to and play. And I think that's the best way to experience any game, cornhole, baseball. It doesn't matter what it is. You got to get out and play. You got to get out and see other players, how other things are done too, how other places play. And I think that's the best way to gain experience and to better yourself as a player.
And I know I actually talked quite at length with a couple people today, kind of debriefing the weekend. The conference, talking about how having that contingent and having that group of people that we travel with and are close with and have all kind of developed together makes those weekends feel less daunting sometimes than feeling like you're on the road by yourself and that it's such a grind. Whereas with us, we're traveling with our buddies. The weekend is how you want to spend your free time. Not all of us have a whole ton of free time, and you get to choose how you spend it. And if you're spending it with people that you enjoy to spend your weekends with, it makes those weekends seem a whole lot more enjoyable, and it's going to mean you're going to continue to do it. And I know I had that conversation with a couple of people kind of talking about the weekend, and I just said, find your group of people and make the weekends more enjoyable, because it'll make you continue to want to do it week after week and after week, because this is a grind. When you look at like my schedule, we were talking about it actually before we came onto the air, about my cornhole schedule over the summer. And if I wasn't enjoying what I was doing, it would seem so daunting as to, like, this is how I'm going to spend my summer. Oh, my God. But doing it with a group of people like the St. Thomas guys and the guys that have supported Fort Joe has made it seem a whole lot more enjoyable.
Yeah. And when talking about wins, we got to talk about Biggs. Nick Cassidy at the last conference in Niagara picked up a competitive division win, which was a step up for him.
He won the advanced division, which was the feather in his cap and kind of his breakthrough win for him. I know Nick was playing a lot of competitive stuff here within our tournaments and stuff like that. He threw himself in the ring and advanced at that tournament, ended up doing well, and it was kind of that boost that he needed to kind of move forward and head into that open division where he's now kind of finding his way, and he's doing really well even at the open division. But when you ask him, he's always very, very proud of his plaque that he has at home. And he lets us know sometimes that he's won in places that we can't even get into. So,
well, and I've even noticed him since that win, whenever I've seen him, he's kind of got the chest is pumped up a bit more. He's always got the smile on his face. You know, like it's just that whole the confidence in knowing that you can do something, right? Is that and that's the big thing at cornhole.
For that me, mental side. I'm a really emotional player, so I know I haven't been able to find that yet in cornhole. But if you see me play baseball or if you see me wrestling, you would see like this. I can't believe this is him, right? So. For Biggie, a huge confidence boost, and he was working hard, and he deserved that. He deserved that win. He worked hard to get his game to that level, and I think he's just going to continue to grow.
And even some of the players that he played against, like that final that he played against Dave Dean there, I sat there, and I now see Dave Dean playing at that high level as well. He's now playing open. He's pushed his game to that next level to start to push some of those top players. And so that's what cornhole here is becoming. And it's like it's a lot, not just like the four jokes, but even some of those other leagues. They're really pushing the envelope in terms of that development piece for a lot of these players. From right down from the Brian Farquhars that are pushing intermediate, now we're going to probably end up pushing them now to start challenging yourself at competitive, to a Nick Cassidy after the conference winning a big advanced championship, now pushing him to say, hey, man, you're an open player. Let's start pushing the envelope here and seeing what we can really do and for yourself.
Yeah, I'm glad you're trying to push them, get them out of the intermediate division so I can have a chance of maybe winning one or two games is all I want is just to have that division cleared out for me. But so, you know, Corey, you said one thing about the daunting task of your summer kind of planned out. So for both of you guys, your other lives before cornhole, or even you still might do it, you know, James with you with the wrestling stuff. And then Corey with the curling background you have, how did that kind of prepare you? Or do you look back at that with, you know, with that travel with that to do that at a high level?
Yeah. So I think that was one of the biggest things that I learned from my curling journey. People ask me like, do you play now? And I wouldn't even know where my old curling stuff is. It's probably collecting dust somewhere, either here at my place or thrown in a storage unit somewhere or whatever. Like, I don't play anymore. And for me, it was that exact reason. When I was out in Newfoundland and I was playing on a regular basis, I enjoyed going to the rink because I enjoyed the people that I was spending my time with. And life brought me back here to Ontario. And when I came back to Ontario, I didn't find those four people that I enjoyed to be on the road with. And so with curling, it was the same way. You sat down at the start of the season, you said, here's the season schedule, you built it all out, and then you just lived through it. But when you're giving 12, 14, 18 weekends to a team of three other guys, that's who you're going to be on the road with. That's who you're, like, you work Monday to Friday, and then you get in your car and you drive up to an event, and you spend your Saturday and Sunday with the same three guys. You better really be committed to that's how you wanted to spend your free time. And that was my real push out of the game of curling at that point in time, is I just didn't find those three guys that I wanted to spend my free time with. And so I actually gave it up. I started playing a little bit of competitive slow pitch, and that's how I met both James and Biggie. And I found that passion for like that activity where I enjoyed spending my weekends doing this. And we were playing softball, and then softball morphed into cornhole. And now I kind of am able to do that same passion that I had with curling. I've got that fire back in me to really push myself to do something because I have that kind of camaraderie. I'm not on the road by myself. We've got now a system as to how we travel, what we do. We know each other on the road, what everybody needs, and it just kind of works, and it's made it a whole lot of fun.
I agree with the traveling part with wrestling. I had to drive all over Ontario into Quebec and the northern states a lot of times, but you know, I made trips to Alabama and wherever else we had to get to for the shows. But preparing for cornhole, I think one thing is that, I mean, realistically, I wrestled in front of thousands of people basically in my underwear. I don't really get too nervous on the boards, you know what I mean? Like, I played in front of big people, and you know, so that doesn't bother me. But I think I agree with Corey. I think the biggest thing when you're playing any sport or any activity like this is to find, you got to have passion for it, but you got to find the people that you're really wanting to spend time with. So a little bit different from Corey is that I have two daughters and a wife. So I like to tie them in with some of the travel stuff. We go to some cool cities and some cool spots. So When we're in Niagara Falls, there's lots to do for the kids and the wife to do there. And we're going to be going out to Newfoundland. So Megan will be joining me for that. So I try to tie in my family with some of the stuff. Also for my family, like Megan understands and my kids understand that I need something competitive to drive me. So this is what's driving me now is Cornwall. I want to do the best that I can. I put the work in and it's kind of taken the front seat as I'm not the oldest guy, but the wrestling thing was I kind of wore through that. And I didn't think I was going to get any further. I was happy with how it ended and how it started and everything like that. So as Corey said, we did play slow pitch together and we had a really good run there. And I just find Cornwall as a new challenge in my life and a way for me to keep competitive.
Well, for me, and I got to play singles for the first time in a long time in a tournament, and I would say that your wrestling background would probably give you that endurance to be able to last, because I know for me, I was dead after the eighth round of walking back and forth. But it's just that's what – and I've talked to some of the pros about that is that there's so many people don't understand the actual physical work it is to be playing cornhole in some – because those games on the weekend, they were going like for the first time ever. I've seen it at a conference tournament here. We weren't 10 and done. We were going like 25, 30 rounds in some of those games.
So that's something that we picked up as a group traveling. That's something that we needed to pay more attention to. You know, sometimes I remember this weekend, just one scenario I remember was looking at Corey saying, "Hey, Corey, we have to go eat. Like it's 4:30. We got here at 9:30. We haven't eaten a meal. Like we have to go eat now." So it's just keeping nutrition, keeping hydrated and stuff like that. I think for some people, maybe that gets lost. And that's a big portion. You run out of gas, those bags start coming up, no pun intended, but the corn dogs start happening.
And, tell me about it.
You know, it may be because you're dehydrated or you may need some food. You need a little boost, you know. So that's something that we talk about frequently. And we try to keep an eye on each other at these events. Like, hey, let's eat. Let's go get – we got to go get some drinks. Do you need some? Try to take care of each other that way. And just make sure that everybody's, you know, going full bore all the way to the end.
And it's funny because we've had this conversation with multiple people over the course of the weekend because we kind of make it look like it's old hat now because we've done the conference thing four or five times now. Whereas we laughed, the B squad was at their first conference this weekend. And so they were just trying to learn some of the nuances of the things that we were doing. And we had the conversation. Some of them are playing their seventh or eighth sit and go in a row. And I'm just like, boy, it's like, sit down, relax. Like the local points are only like so valuable. You got to win some of the big stuff here before the local points are even going to really matter. But they weren't eating. They weren't having anything to drink. And I was just like, this is a grind. And I will say that it's one of the biggest things that I've noticed about cornhole since we started. When we went to the first conference, games were done in 10, 12, 14 rounds. Yeah. And that was kind of the grind. But now, like, I know I had multiple games against Steve Hensby this weekend that they were, like, a marathon. And you just keep grinding, and it's taxing mentally. It's taxing physically. And if you don't listen to your body in some of those moments, and that's one of the things I know I've taken away from curling, the fact of kind of listening to your body, what your body needs in kind of some of those situations, is a huge learning curve. And so being able to navigate that is definitely a skill, that I have like gotten some training through my curling background, working with some high level elite coaches and nutritionists and, some of the things that I've had the opportunity to do, that I've tried and bring to our small little group of people that can potentially give some of us a competitive edge come to with conferences and opens and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, because that's one thing I've noticed that a lot of people don't have is they don't have that person there to say, hey, you know, like just we got to pace ourselves because, quite frankly, I've seen from the 6 years of playing cornhole up here, we went from a tournament taking a couple hours in the afternoon to now we're, you know, the past weekend there, I was there like 8 in the morning and I'm like the last one to leave. I'm just talking, but it's still a long day just being in that one facility.
Yeah, it's definitely taxing. I think someone probably looking on the outside, looking in, would not realize how taxing it is on the body to continue to play those games and just the mental fatigue from, you know, every shot. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Where does it need to go, right? It's mentally draining, and you got to have those sort of things to keep going. You need to stay hydrated and you need to eat food. It's that simple. You got to have those things.
And like, yeah. I always refer back to, and I was talking about it on the weekend, Moondog actually put out a stat the one time that he found, he calculated how many kilometers it would, that the one person that won an intermediate championship at one of his regionals would have walked, and the number would have blown you away. Like, if you would have told me that I was going to be going for a 3 kilometer walk today, I'd probably be like, no, I'm going to hang out on my couch. You walk 3 kilometers in a singles event, and that's nothing at a potentially at a conference if you're making a deep run. I know one of my biggest learning experiences for cornhole is actually going down to the Worlds and making a loser bracket run. And that was an absolute grind. I lost my first game, and it was just game after game after game after game. And I remember I was actually down there. Connor Weiss was down there, and he's just like, man, like, it's not going to stop for you to keep winning. I was like, but I'm also not going to, I'm not going to try and lose. Like, we're here for the long haul. But like, that was the one time where I just looked at it and I said, this isn't what people think it is when you get to that high level.
Oh, exactly. Cause you can have that going through that loser bracket where you've got game after game after game. Then you have the other person that's sitting in a king seat and waiting for 2 hours. Cause that happened a couple times. It happened to Tracy DeCoste and the women's, and then to Bernie, and then with you guys. Yeah. Right, it's just you're sitting there, you're waiting for that, those other people, and then you're like, okay, when do I have to start warming up, or when, you know, you're trying to gauge it, and when those other games are going 25 rounds, you're kind of stuck.
You're scoreboard watching, and you're trying to think, you know, how much time do I need to get going here? Should I throw bags? You know, do I need a drink? All those things are running through your head. You're trying to prepare to be ready for that game. And that's not easy either. You know, you're playing a waiting game. There's no, you know, you didn't get the text message saying who you're playing. You got 5 minutes to get to the board, or 2 minutes to get to the board and think about how do I need to play this game. You're kind of scoreboard watching, and once that game's done, you know you're up on the board. So you got to get there. You just try to prepare as best as you can.
Okay, well, I know you guys have to get going here tonight, but Corey, we'll put you on the spot here. For anyone going to Newfoundland for the Open, what's one place they have to go to in St. John's?
Well, many people have already asked me about George Street. George Street is a place of its own. I'm sure that the Ontario contingent that goes out will find their way down to George Street, because I know that Dion and the boys have talked about getting people down to George Street. It's the biggest thing that I will say, having lived in Newfoundland, is that the people will not, like, they'll all come back and talk about is the people that they're going to meet out there. The people out there are the best people that I've ever really met in my entire life. I will say that I've reached out to many people from my past and say, hey, I'm coming out to Newfoundland, love to. And like, some of them are like, tell me when you're playing. I'll be down at the RE/MAX Center. I'm going to be there supporting. I'll have like if you and your buddies want to come over, we'll cook you dinner. Like, that's the kind of hospitality that you're going to get. But I will say one of the big things at that time of the year, I'm really hopeful. I said the bigs that's iceberg season. So I will try and look ahead, see if we can find something in the area to kind of see an iceberg, because it's something that we're not going to see here. He keeps saying that he wants to see the whales, but it's a little bit early. Yeah. I have seen whales out there in June. Let's cross our fingers, but we'll see how it works out. But there's great landscape out there. I know when I lived out there, I lived 5 minutes from the coast. I could get out in the morning. I could time myself so that I could watch the sunrise up over the coast. So any of the Ontario people or any of your followers that are, I would say that if you have the ability to get up in the morning, go up and watch the sunrise out on Cape Fear or someplace along the coast, you will not regret it. One of the greatest experiences that I've ever had.
Exactly. With all the family I've talked to out there, they're just hoping we don't have snow. So it's June in Newfoundland.
Yeah, but the weather out there is probably the most unpredictable thing that I've ever seen in my life.
Kind of like my cornhole game. But thank you guys for coming on. And I know I will see you guys at a tournament here coming up again soon. I may even stop by. This will be on Friday, so I may even stop by tomorrow on the Saturday to check you guys out at for a joke on my way to Michigan to pick up some contest stuff. But hopefully we'll see you. If not, we will see you at another tournament sometime soon.
Okay. Thanks, Doug. Thanks for having us.
Good. And I want to thank those guys for coming on, talking, Corey and James. And remember, check out the For a Joke Cornhole Facebook page, and you can get those great shirts that they have. I know I got to wear a couple, and they're comfortable. You'll want to wear them when they're playing. They're great shirts. So Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. If you're listening on the audio version, head over to YouTube. Give us a subscribe on there. Like I said, we're about 40 away from the 500 subscriber contest. It will not be just bags on the next one. That's for sure. And then head over. Make sure you're following on Facebook, because a lot of stuff gets put on Facebook. Videos get put up on here. Watch for the raw, unedited versions of the some of the games from the ACL Canada Central Conference Tournament. I got it right that time. Other than that, just have fun playing. Be nice to people. And if you live in glass houses, just don't throw stones.